Well, we're going to look at the Bible for a few minutes this morning, but I'm sure it hasn't escaped your notice that there's been some interesting celebrations taking place this week. One of the newspaper articles said this: Leicester City's win inspires the world. So read one of the many news titles over the past week, and their premiership win has been described as a fairy tale come true. And of course, many of you will know, even if you know nothing about football, this team have come from the very bottom of the table all the way to the top, and it's taken them 136 years to do it. And I guess deep down, regardless of whether you are whatever football supporter you are, we all love a good success story, don't we? I guess it's probably a bit in all of us that's thinking, actually, you know what? Well done. Well done. So imagine for a moment that this week you're walking down pavement somewhere near where you live and you bump into this character. This is their manager, in case you don't know, Claudio Ranieri. And if you said, Claudio, how can I be sure that this happened this week? I mean, what proof do you really have that you guys actually won the Premiership this year? What do you think he might do? Well, he might think you were totally mad, that you'd sort of been on an alien planet for the last week. Or he might take your question a little bit more seriously. He might say, well, I was there last night when they were celebrating. I was there when they lifted the trophy. He says, I was there. I know what happened because I saw it with my own eyes. Or he might take you to the league tables at the beginning of the year and say, look, this is where we were, right at the bottom of the table. These are the matches that we've won along the way, and this is where we've got to today. And if he is a humble man, I think, actually, because he gives a lot of credit to his fans. But he might just say to you, we have a great team, and we've got some great supporters. And together, we have made our way to the top of the Premiership table. And he says, I know it's true because I was really there. I don't know about you, but for me, that just says to me, actually, just because something is amazing and just because something seems incredible doesn't actually mean that it's not true. And some of you might be here this morning, you might be thinking the same thing to yourself about what you've been hearing so far. Maybe in a few minutes, five people are going to be baptized. You've heard some of their stories. You've heard a little bit how they've encountered Jesus in their lives. And you might be thinking to yourself, how can I be sure this is true? How can I know for sure that this thing about following Jesus is something real? How do we answer that question? Well, we do what we would do with Claudio Ranieri. He would point to the evidence. He'd say, I was there. I saw it happen. I saw it with my own eyes. And that's what we do when it comes to the Christian faith. We look at the person of Jesus. We look at what he taught. We look at his miracles. We see how he fulfilled Old Testament prophecy. But ultimately, we go to his death and to his resurrection and to the empty tomb and to the eyewitnesses who were actually there when it happened. And this morning, we're going to look at a story in the Bible, and you can find it if you want to find a Bible in front of you. I'm going to read out the story in a minute, but if you want to follow this story, it's on page 1089, and it's the story of somebody who may be asking the same kind of question this morning. Is it really true? Is this thing about Jesus something that I can stake my life on? Is this thing about encountering Jesus something that I can experience as well? How can I be sure? How can I know that it's all real? Well, here's Thomas. I love Thomas in the Bible. Thomas has kind of got quite a cruel nickname over the years. Even if you're not a Christian, you may well know that Thomas is referred to as Doubting Thomas. Imagine being recorded in the Bible for all these people to read for hundreds and hundreds of years as you being called Doubting Thomas. How would you like your nickname recorded in the Bible? I'm not sure I would. But here's Thomas, real man with real questions, and here's what's going on after the resurrection of Jesus. John chapter 20, verse 19. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came in and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." And after he said this, he showed them his hands and his side, and the disciples were overjoyed because they had seen the Lord. And again Jesus said, "Peace be with you," or "Shalom. As the Father has sent me, I'm sending you." And with that he breathed on them and he said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone their sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Now Thomas, this is verse 24, one of the 12 was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told Thomas, "We have seen Jesus. We've seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger in his side," he said, "I'm not going to believe." And a week later, his disciples were in the same house again, and Thomas was with them. And though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands and reach your hand and put it into my side and stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you've seen me, you have believed. But blessed are those," this is really important, "blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." And Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this particular book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and by believing you may have life in his name. Well, I want to just show you in just a few minutes this morning how Thomas comes to faith in Jesus Christ. He's a really interesting character. I think it's a story that many of us will relate to this morning. Here's the first thing that you notice about this story, that it's a story that begins with the absence of Thomas. When this story begins, Thomas is missing. That's what John is telling us. He's writing this account. He says that the disciples were all together in this locked room because they were scared about what might happen next. And suddenly Jesus appeared in the room, even though the door was locked. And the Bible tells us that Thomas was missing. And he misses out on all kinds of things. If you have a Bible open in front of you, you'll see he misses out on the appearance of Jesus. He doesn't see Jesus with his own eyes. He misses out on this lovely greeting of shalom that Jesus gives to his disciples when they're so fearful and so scared about what might happen next. They miss out on the amazing instructions that Jesus gives to his disciples about what he wants them to do next. And they miss out on the experience of God's Spirit being given to them. So poor old Thomas misses out on all kinds of things. No wonder he feels left out when he hears what's happened. So here's the first part of the story about Thomas coming to faith in Jesus. It begins with his absence. Here's the second part of the story. It proves to us that Jesus is alive. The disciples come to Thomas. I feel for Thomas at this point. And they say, "Thomas, Jesus is alive. We've seen him with our own eyes." Poor old Thomas has missed out on this experience altogether. And John, who's writing this account, wants us to grasp that this is a real physical bodily resurrection, that Jesus is able to eat, he's able to talk, he's able to walk with his disciples, and actually in the very next chapter he cooks a meal for his disciples on the beach. You see, it's a bit like what we would do if we bumped into Claudio Ranieri, isn't it? He would say, "Look at the evidence. Look at the eyewitnesses. I was there. I saw it when the cup was being lifted." That's what John is saying to us in this passage. He's saying these are eyewitness accounts. And the Bible tells us that Jesus appeared to hundreds of people over a period of 6 weeks. Here's a lovely summary of what somebody has said about the resurrection appearances. It says, "Jesus appeared to men and women on their own. He appeared to people in groups ranging from 2 people to 500. He appeared indoors and outdoors. He appeared in Judea. He appeared in Galilee. He appeared in the countryside. He appeared in the city. He appeared close up. He appeared at a distance. He appeared in the morning. He appeared by prior appointment and he appeared unexpectedly. He appeared on a hill and on a lake. He appeared on a road. He appeared sitting. He appeared standing. He appeared walking. And in all of those appearances, he's nearly always talking." You see, these appearances are very real. They're not something you can write off as some kind of religious vision when so many people saw the same thing. It's a story that proves to us that Jesus is alive. We've got that account for us right in front of us this morning. It's part of Thomas's story to faith. It begins with his absence. He's missing. He misses this resurrection appearance. And we see in this story that it's a story that proves to us that Jesus is alive. The disciples are saying to Thomas, "We've seen Jesus with our own eyes." Here's the third thing that you'll find in this story, that it makes room for doubts and questions. I'm so pleased about that. The disciples are literally overwhelmed. They can't wait to tell Thomas what has happened. "We've seen the Lord," but Thomas is not so sure. What does he say in verse 25? He says, "Unless I see the nail marks for myself, unless I put my hand in this wound of Jesus in his side, I'm not going to believe." How awful to be remembered for your moment of greatest doubt. How awful to have that written down so that we sit here 2,000 years later reading about poor old Thomas and his struggles and his questions. But you know what I love about the Bible? I love this about the Bible, that it paints life as it really is. It doesn't airbrush out people like Thomas. It doesn't airbrush out people who make mistakes and mess up. It tells the whole story as it really is. And because of that, there is a disciple with big questions that we can relate to. He's the one who asks the questions. He's the one who looks for the evidence. He's the one who wants to know more. He's the one who wants to be sure. I find Thomas's response refreshingly honest this morning. You see, doubts and questions are often a sign that we're being honest with ourselves. That's what Thomas was like. Until I see, I will not believe. How did you relate to that this morning? You see, doubt is not the opposite of faith. Actually, doubts and questions are often evidence that God's actually at work in our lives. So here's Thomas's story of faith. It begins with his absence. It proves to us that Jesus is alive. It makes room, it makes space for our doubts and our questions. And here's the final thing that you'll see in this story, that it's a story that invites us to faith in the risen Jesus. Actually, that's what this story is all about. John writes in verses 30 and 31 at the end of this passage, says, all these things are written down so that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and that you might have life in his name. So let's see how that happens. What happens? Well, the disciples are all together. A week later, it seems that they've been able to persuade Thomas to be with them on this occasion. And this time, Jesus appears in the room, and Thomas is there, even though the doors are locked. And Jesus stands there and says to all of the disciples, including Thomas, peace, shalom, it's me. And Jesus gently and patiently turns to Thomas and says, Thomas, put your hands here. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe. That's the whole point of this story. That's the whole point of this encounter with Thomas and Jesus. Because John wants us to know this. That this is the same Jesus who was crucified. That these are the same marks that were made when Jesus was nailed to the cross. That this is the risen Jesus. That death could not hold the body of Jesus Christ. That the risen Jesus comes and goes at wills as if he belongs to our world and also to a different world at the same time. And now Thomas has the evidence. Just as he has been looking for. How do we know this is for real? Well, we take a look at the eyewitnesses. Just as we would if we met Claudio Ranieri this week. And the Bible points us to the empty tomb. It points us to the risen Christ. It points us to people who were there when it happened. Hundreds of people who saw Jesus risen from the dead. And Jesus turns to Thomas and says, Thomas, it's time to stop doubting. It's time to believe. And Thomas says this, my Lord and my God. That's how we come to faith in Jesus Christ. Some of you perhaps this morning are here, perhaps as visitors, or maybe part of our church family, you've sensed something of the excitement here this morning about Jesus. We sing about Jesus. We speak about him. We talk about him. Verse 29 is very significant. Jesus says this to us. He says to Thomas, he says, you've seen because you believe because you've seen. And this is something to people like you and me sitting here this morning. He says, blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Blessed are those who see with the eyes of faith that Jesus is the risen Christ. Here's a story that begins with the absence of Thomas. Interesting, isn't it? At the beginning of Thomas's journey to faith, he's missing. He's just not there. It's a story that proves to us that Jesus is alive, that he has risen from the dead. You can encounter him today because he is alive. It's the story of those being baptized this morning. It makes room for our doubts and our questions. It's a great way of coming to faith. We run lots of courses in this church where people can come and ask their questions because we want people to find out for themselves. It's a story that invites us to faith in Jesus Christ. In a moment, we're going to sing another psalm before we come to our baptisms this morning. But I want to pause just for a minute, just for about 30 seconds, and just ask you this question this morning. And here's the question on the screen. It is this: where are you in this story we've been looking at this morning? If someone asked you this morning, where would you sort of point yourself in the story that we've been looking at this morning? Say, that's where I am. That's me. Let's just recap the story for a minute and let's see where we would put ourselves in this story. Here's the first thing that we were looking at. This is the story that begins with the absence of Thomas. I wonder, does that describe some of us this morning? We feel like we're on the outside looking in this morning. We kind of sense this celebration that's going on, but we feel almost like we're looking through the window. We don't feel that we're actually experiencing it. But that's what Thomas was like at the beginning of this story. Maybe that's where some of us are. What was the second thing we learned? We learned there's a story that proves that Jesus is alive. Maybe you sit here this morning and say, dead people don't come back to life again. It's just too incredible to believe. Well, if you're willing to believe that Leicester City can move from the bottom of the Premiership to the top of the Premiership, if you're willing to believe something that seemed so incredible at the beginning of the season, just because something seems incredible doesn't mean that it's not true. Same is true of the risen Jesus. Look at the eyewitnesses. What's the third thing we learned? This is a story that makes room for our doubts and our questions. It's okay to ask questions. It's okay to say, I'm not really sure, this bit doesn't really make sense, because ask you questions like Thomas does. And find that you too can come to faith like Thomas does by saying, my Lord and my God. And of course, the final part of the story that we'll be looking at this morning is that it's an invitation to faith in Jesus Christ, isn't it? And I spotted something which I've not quite seen before in this story. Before Jesus appears, Thomas is saying, you know, I'm not going to believe unless I see the nail marks, put my hand this side. I'm not going to believe that story. He says it out loud to the disciples. And Jesus appears. And what does Jesus say to Thomas? Thomas, put your hands on the nail marks. Put your hand in my side. He's heard exactly what Thomas was saying. He knew what was in Thomas's heart. That means he knows what's in your heart this morning. He knows what's in my heart. He knows our deepest longings. He knows our failures. He knows our mistakes. He knows the things that we long for. But in the midst of all that, Jesus said, blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. You see, the appropriate response to this story that we're looking at this morning is to do what Thomas does, my Lord and my God. And that's how this story ends. I wonder what God might be saying to you this morning. Here's Augustine, wonderful theologian. He really hits the nail on the head. We often search for things in all kinds of places in our lives. Augustine says it like this. He says, you've made us for yourself. He says, our hearts are restless until they find their rest in you. And the answer to finding our rest in God is to come like Thomas does and to say, my Lord and my God. Leicester's Premiership win will change all kinds of things, won't it? Millions of pounds will flood into the club. People will be clamouring for television rights. Players will be looking for more money. But you know, there is no guarantee of where Leicester Football Club is going to be this time next year, is there? There's no guarantee. You see, there's one big difference between the Leicester story, Leicester City story, and the story of Jesus Christ, and that is, well, with Leicester, you don't know where they're going to be next year. But with the resurrection of Jesus, things change forever. We literally cross over from death to life. That's what the Bible says when we come to faith in Jesus. And here's what faith in Jesus Christ does for us. Here's the first thing. Well, obviously it proves that he's alive, but it rewrites our past. It means that when you come to faith in Jesus Christ like Thomas does, we can take this promise from the Bible which says to us, as far as the east is from the west, so far has God removed our transgressions from us. It means that our past is completely rewritten. Our sins are forgiven. They're dealt with. It's what faith in the resurrection of Jesus Christ does. Here's the second thing that it does. It reshapes our future. See, Jesus rose from the dead. That means that death is not the end of the story. And the Bible says this to us. It says, no one's ever seen or heard anything like what God has prepared for those who love him. Death is not the end of the story. And the other thing that the faith in the resurrection of Jesus Christ does for us, it starts to remake us in the present. And you've heard a little bit about the stories this morning of those who came and stood at the front and they started to tell you a bit about what God is doing in their lives. That's one of the most exciting things about the Christian faith. It's not just about the past. It's not just about the future. It's about what God wants to do in you in the here and now. And here's what Jesus himself says. All who love me will do what I say. My Father will love them and we will come and make our home with each of them. That's what the resurrection of Jesus Christ does for us. Past, present and future. And here's the way into that relationship. My Lord and my God. Shall we pray together? Father, I want to thank you so much for some of the stories that we've heard this morning from those who have been baptized. From stories shared from all of those who are being baptized, we thank you for what you're doing in their lives. We thank you that they have met the risen Jesus. And we thank you for what we've been looking at in this Bible story this morning, as we have seen how Jesus gently encourages Thomas to faith in him. Father, we want to find ourselves somewhere in this story this morning. We don't want to be on the outside looking in. We don't want to doubt anymore. We want to come to faith in Jesus. We can bring our questions like Thomas does. We can bring our doubts. But Lord, we want to be like Thomas this morning. We want to come before you and say, my Lord and my God. And we hear again the words of Jesus who said, blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Thank you, in Jesus' name. Amen.